Volume 1, The Symbolic Code Number 9. The Symbolic Code News Items. Volume 1, March 15, 1935. Number 9, Los Angeles, Calif. In the interest of the SDA denomination, be of good cheer. Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14:1-3. Long have we waited for our Savior's return, but nonetheless sure is the promise. Soon we shall be in our promised home. There Jesus will lead us beside the living stream flowing from the throne of God, and will explain to us the dark providence through which on this earth He brought us in order to perfect our characters. There we shall behold with undimmed vision the beauties of Eden restored, casting at the feet of the Redeemer the crowns that He has placed on our heads, and touching our golden harps, we shall fill all heaven with praise to Him that sitteth on the throne. AT 254. Further in the tracks of Romanism. The superintendent of the Wyoming mission was here January 12th, and preached 2 hours against the Srod. Before they separated to celebrate the ordinance of humility, he had them vote that they would not allow anyone to take part that was fighting the church, as he put it, and, as he did not mention the Srod, had we not ventured to take part, it would have argued that we were guilty of fighting the church, which, of course, is not true. When the congregation was finally separated, and the water and basins were ready, they hurried and got them all before we could get any, and whenever they were finished with one, a sister, standing ready, would quickly take it and put it under her arm, thus keeping us from getting it. Sister Hendricks finally went up and asked for one, and the sister hit her in the stomach, almost knocking her breath out of her, and said no, adding, "I will not let any of you have one." Then Sister Hendricks suggested that we sing a hymn, after which one of the sisters immediately began a song, and we joined in singing. At the communion service following, they refused to serve us, thus carrying to completion their unholy feast. That night at business meeting, the elder reproved the sister for starting the song, saying that she should have let us start it, for which disturbance he would have had us arrested. He thanked her, though, for holding the basins so we could not get any. At this meeting, they cast out as evil the name of another sister, who cried for several days over the mockery which took place during the meeting. At the same time, they voted to have the doors guarded and not to allow any of us to enter in the future. When I went to the next prayer meeting, they barred the door to me, and, as they shut me out, I heard great laughter. The following Sabbath they refused to let S.R. Hendricks and me enter, so we stood outside until Sabbath school was over, it being 20 degrees below zero. Last Sabbath there were 4 of us who were kept without in the cold, but we studied our Sabbath school lesson, and they had a council meeting inside to determine what they should do with us. Now they say we just come to antagonize them, and we want to know what is our duty. Should we stop going altogether, or should we keep on going? It seems that if we never get to go, not only will our own interests suffer, but they will go on sleeping the sleep of death. Signed, Mrs. Faith Pruitt, Sheridan, Wyoming. Above question answered in symbolic code, number 8, February 15, 1935, page 8. Volume 1, symbolic code number 9, page 1. We certainly are having plenty of opposition here. They now have guards at the doors to keep us from entering, though it has been very cold weather. Last Sabbath the elder tacked a notice on the church. We were told by the home missionary secretary that the notice was our Sabbath school lesson. The warning was to the effect that anyone disturbing was subject to a $50 fine or 30 days in jail. The elder made the remark to one of the company that he wished we would do something so that he could put us in jail. The hatred they manifest is awful, and they claim the right to guard the doors because God cast Satan out of heaven and because the angels have to carry golden cards before they are admitted into the holy city. One of the sisters pleaded with the guards to let us in, but to no avail. If I had been told a year ago that the church would act in such a manner, I would never have believed it. It only serves to remind us of the history of the church down through the ages, how that every time she lost her spiritual power, she resorted to the arm of the law. We surely enjoyed the last number of the code, which was a source of strength to every one of us. I only wish it came oftener. We need your most earnest prayers. Signed, Mrs. Hazel Hendricks, Sheridan, Wyoming. When the spirit of prophecy warned us long ago that persecution would be the lot of every saint and that it would come first and worst from within the church, we did not realize how it could be possible until during the last year, when such outrages, as recounted above, began to be committed in the name of truth and righteousness. Such developments leave us without doubt as to where we are in the course of time's events. Mark carefully the following statements. Christ said of himself, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." The Prince of Peace, he was yet the cause of division. He who came to proclaim glad tidings, and to create hope and joy in the hearts of the children of men, opened a controversy that burns deep and arouses intense passion in the human heart. And he warns his followers, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. They shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents, and brethren, and kinsfolk, and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." This prophecy has been fulfilled in a marked manner. Every indignity, reproach, and cruelty that Satan could instigate human hearts to devise has been visited upon the followers of Jesus. And it will he again fulfilled in a marked manner, for the carnal heart is still at enmity with the law of God, and will not be subject to its commands. The world is no more in harmony with the principles of Christ today than it was in the days of the apostles. The same hatred that prompted the cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The same hatred that led to the persecution of the disciples still works in the children of disobedience. The same spirit which in the dark ages consigned men and women to prison, to exile, and to death, which conceived the exquisite torture of the Inquisition, which planned and executed the massacre of St. Bartholomew, and which kindled the fires of Smithfield, is still at work with malignant energy in unregenerate hearts. The history of truth has ever been the record of a struggle between right and wrong. The proclamation of the gospel has ever been carried forward in this world in the face of opposition, peril, loss, and suffering. AA 84:5. The apostle knew that he could not look for justice from the people, the church, who by their crimes were bringing down upon themselves the wrath of God. He knew that, like the prophet Elijah, he would be safer among the heathen than with those who had rejected light from heaven and hardened their hearts against the gospel. Thus it was that once more, because of hatred born of bigotry and self-righteousness, a servant of God was driven to turn for protection to the heathen. It was the same hatred that forced the prophet Elijah to flee for succor to the widow of Sarepta, and that forced the heralds of the gospel to turn from the Jews to proclaim their message to the Gentiles. And this hatred the people of God living in this age have yet to meet. Among many of the professing followers of Christ, there is the same pride, formalism, and selfishness. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 9, Page 2. The same spirit of oppression that held so large a place in the Jewish heart. In the future, men claiming to be Christ's representatives will take a course similar to that followed by the priests and rulers in their treatment of Christ and the apostles. In the great crisis through which they are soon to pass, the faithful servants of God will encounter the same hardness of heart, the same cruel determination, the same unyielding hatred. All who in that evil day would fearlessly serve God according to the dictates of conscience will need courage, firmness, and a knowledge of God and His Word, for those who are true to God will be persecuted, their motives will be impugned, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their names cast out as evil. Satan will work with all his deceptive power to influence the heart and becloud the understanding, to make evil appear good and good evil. The stronger and purer the faith of God's people, and the firmer their determination to obey Him, the more fiercely will Satan strive to stir up against them the rage of those who, while claiming to be righteous, trample upon the law of God. It will require the firmest trust, the most heroic purpose, to hold fast the faith once delivered to the saints. AA 431. The servant of the Lord says of Pilate, that he did not understand the fanatical hatred of the priests for him, who, as the light of the world, had made manifest their darkness and error. They had moved the mob to mad fury, and again priests, rulers, and people raised that awful cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" DA 736. The SDA Church, repeating the history of the Jews 5T160. Will be swayed by its priests and rulers today to take a course against the faithful servants of God similar to that followed by the priests and rulers in their treatment of Christ's and the apostles, as the 144,000 become more and more like their Savior, the light of the world. Making manifest the darkness and error enveloping the church, the leaders in their fanatical hatred of the saints will move the mob to a mad fury against them and, in desperation born of blind and raging hatred, will reach out for the civil arm of power to accomplish their evil ends, merging the following type into antitype. Thus by choosing a heathen ruler Caesar symbol of the power of this world, the Jewish nation had withdrawn from the theocracy. Here see 7T109, par. 1 in connection with 5T75, last par, and 5T456, bottom of page. They had rejected God as their king. Henceforth they had no deliverer. They had no king but Caesar. To this the priests and teachers had led the people. For this, with the fearful results that followed, they were responsible. A nation's sin and a nation's ruin were due to the religious leaders. DA 738. The division must come. The destruction of Jerusalem is a representation of what the church will be if it refuses to receive and walk in the light that God has given. Jerusalem was favored of God as the depository of sacred trusts. But her people perverted the truth and despised all entreaties and warnings. They would not respect his counsels. The temple courts were polluted with merchandise and robbery. Selfishness and love of mammon, envy, and strife were cherished. Everyone sought for gain from his quarter. Christ turned from them, saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how can I give thee up? How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Matthew 23:37. The publishing house has been turned into desecrated shrines, into a place of unholy merchandise and traffic. It has become a place where injustice and fraud have been carried on, where selfishness, malice, envy, and passion have borne sway. Yet the men who have been led into this working upon wrong principles are seemingly unconscious of their wrong course of action. 8T67:8. Speaking of the SDA Church, the Spirit of God says, "Who can truthfully say, 'Our gold is tried in the fire, our garments are unspotted by the world'? I saw our instructor pointing to the garments of so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said to me, 'Can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of character? How has the faithful city become an harlot? My Father's house is made a house of merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness, and strength is lacking.'" 8T250. Let us not say, "Stay thy hand, O God. The church must be purged, and it will be. 1D100, Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 9, Page 3. Through the foregoing proves that the church needs and is going to be thoroughly purified. The following reveals that the SDA ministry will not consent to it. The ancient men, those to whom God had given great light and who had stood as guardians of the spiritual interest of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for miracles and the marked manifestation of God's power as in former days. Times have changed. These words strengthen their unbelief, and they say, "The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. He is too merciful to visit His people in judgment." Thus peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice, like a trumpet, to show God's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended God. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. 5D211. In fulfillment of the above, the ministry now scorns the idea that the judgment of Ezekiel 9 is a literal slaughter upon the house of God, before the close of probation for the world, taking rather the position that it is the seven last plagues, consequently saying, "We need not look for miracles, and the marked manifestation of God's power, as in former days." Us peace and safety is the cry from men who will never again lift up their voice. Why? Because all have perished in the slaughter which they had declared God was too merciful to visit upon His people. The night is approaching, and the shadows of the dark ages are beginning to fall upon God's people, when all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. The time is nigh upon us of which prophecy says, "The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant, the 144,000, of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12:17. But we reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Therefore, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:12, 14, 17. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:6, 11. A new model prayer and business meeting. Recently, a few of the 600 members of the Glendale Church met for what they were pleased to call a prayer and business meeting. After a few songs were sung and a few short prayers offered, the president of the conference gave a talk on false prophets and error coming into the church. The prayer meeting was then quickly turned into a business meeting for the purpose of disfellowshipping another sister who is a believer in the message of the Srod, and the pastor announced that, as business was the order of the meeting, all who were not members of the Glendale Church were kindly requested to leave. Besides myself, there were present two or three other believers in present truth who have also been deprived of their membership rights. Instead of leaving at the pastor's request, we all kept our seats, for the sister with whom we were sitting, the one who was to be cast out, wished us to stay. But seeing our intention to remain, the pastor called out my name, saying, Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 9 Page 4. Sister, you are no longer a member of our church, so I request you to leave, also the ones who are with you. I kept my seat, hoping to be able to stay, but immediately the church was in an uproar, several rising from their seats and requesting us to leave. Then the pastor ordered the deacons to take care of us, we finally deciding to walk out with our escorts, the deacons, by our sides. On the outside we met some SDAs, members of other churches, who were waiting for their friends and relatives, to whom we passed out tracts and gave the message, one dear old lady consenting to a Bible study. We now thank the deacons. I thank the Lord for the simple means which He uses to get before the people this wonderful truth, that He will soon have a church without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, pure and perfect, by which to warn the world in the loud cry, and quickly cut short His work on earth, as we read in 5T 187. Shake off your spiritual lethargy. Work with all your might to save your own souls, and the souls of others. It is no time now to cry peace and safety. It is not silver-dunged orators that are needed to give this message. The truth in all its pointed severity must be spoken. Men of action are needed, men who will labor with earnest, ceaseless energy for the purifying of the church and the warning of the world. A great work is to be accomplished. Broader plans must be laid. A voice must go forth to arouse the nations. Men whose faith is weak and wavering are not the ones to carry forward the work at this important crisis. We need the courage of heroes and the faith of martyrs. I thank the Lord for the glorious light that is shining upon our pathway, and I want to follow my Savior all the way at any cost. And in behalf of the leaders and members of the Glendale Church, I ask your prayers that they may fall on the rock Christ Jesus and be broken before the rock falls upon them and grinds them to pieces. Luke 20:18. Signed, Mrs. E. M. Crawford, Glendale, Calif. An Unholy Feast. On January 22nd I received from the church clerk a registered letter, whereby I was notified that the question of my membership in the Glendale SDA Church would be given consideration at a business meeting the following evening. I thank God that, in a call like that, we do not need time for a special preparation, but can claim that wonderful promise of the Lord, that, when we are delivered up to the councils, or brought before governors or kings for His name's sake, we shall take no thought how or what we shall speak, for it shall be given us in the same hour. When I arrived at the meeting, a few sisters, believers in the message for the hour, were already there, but they were asked to leave the church, and, as some of them refused to leave on my account, they were roughly put out, after which the elder of the church read the charges and accusations against me, in which I noticed he was not particular always about stating the truth. When finally they gave me time for remarks, I reminded them that if I should be summoned before a secular court, I would be allowed to have my witnesses, but, as they preferred to deal with me all alone, I assured them that God was with me, and if God is for us, who can be against us? I then gave my conviction that the SDA Church is the only church on earth today that God recognizes as His church, and that this movement will go through to the kingdom, but that the present spiritual condition of the church is so deplorable that revival and reformation must needs take place to save us, in proof of which I read several statements from the testimonies, until it got so uncomfortable for them that they limited me and demanded a straight answer to the question as whether or not I believe this rod. I stated that I believe the Bible and the testimonies 100% as the Word of God, also any other book that is fully in harmony with them, and therefore if they did vote me out of the church, I am no offshoot, but an outcast. The climax came when the president of the conference got up and said, "Those statements which this sister has been reading are nothing but condemnation. and we know that condemnation comes from the devil. The statements which I read were all from the pen of S.R.E.G. White. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 9, page 5. Some of which are as followers, 5T217, TM359, COR5051, 67, etc. Well, they voted me out on the grounds that I do not believe as the church does, but how can I believe as they do, when they have drifted so far from the old landmarks as publicly to state that S.R. White's writings come from the devil? God forgive them, for they know not what they do. Signed, Mrs. Anna Engen, Glendale, Calif. Of undaunted courage. We are sowing the seed and praying that the Lord will water it. The conference men and the ministers have implanted that frightful fear in the hearts of the people that makes them afraid even to read. It is a case of spider and fly. The fear has been deeply inculcated that if they read, the fabled deadly black spider will grab them and hold them tight in the soul-destroying meshes of error. I plainly see that the church is God's church, but that those who do such work are not His people, for they act just like the papists did in Luther's time. I thank God that He has given us the grit and willpower to stand on our own feet, and by His grace we shall stand upon them if we have to stand alone, as we do now. Pray for us, for our hearts and souls are in the message of this rod, which has made a great change in our lives, and with God's help and guiding hand, we are going through to the kingdom, numbered among the 144,000, praise God. Signed, Mrs. W. L. Harper, Richmond, Va. New experience. In all the years that I have been a SDA, I have never been satisfied with my Christian experience. I have felt a lack of something, I knew not what, until some time ago a brother gave me Volume 1 of this rod. Since reading it, I know that I am a better Seventh-day Adventist, and that it is a message from God, and I pray that our people may accept it. Signed, Charles Garvin, San Diego, Calif. A secret ballot. On January 16th, after prayer meeting, at the evening hour, the conference president called the church board together, having previously sent us a personal invitation to meet with them. This meeting was called for the specific purpose of considering our attitude toward the doctrine of this rod. The committee included both the president and the auditor of the Union Conference. We were given an opportunity to make statements to the brethren, which we did, making it plain that we accepted this rod teaching, and that we urged our brethren and sisters to investigate this truth for themselves, in harmony with the instructions as given by the servant of the Lord regarding any new truth that comes to us. Testimonies on Sabbath Schoolwork, page 65. Then the union president was called on for counsel and suggested that our names be dropped from the church roll. So on Sabbath, February 2nd, the conference president, having preached at the Clovis Church and having charge of the services, presented the board's action to the church. We were disfellowshipped because of our stand on this rod. We were again given an opportunity to witness for the Master and tried to let Him do the most of the speaking by reading from the 5th chapter of Acts, verses 27-40, also TM 106-7, regarding the dangers of rejecting truth because of the decisions of our leading brethren. We were made to feel very sad because these dear folks here are doing the same as the Jews did in the days of Christ when they crucified Him. But with Him we asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. Someday, if they do not repent, they shall stand before the judgment bar and be ashamed. Yet with all this sadness, we are made to rejoice because of the consolation found in Isaiah 66:5. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 9, page 6. Your joy, and they shall be ashamed. When the question was put to the church for vote, It evidently became quite embarrassing for the elder, as several seconds passed before anyone in the congregation had courage to make the motion, and then several more seconds passed before a second was obtained, and this had to come from the elder's wife. Of course, a secret ballot was taken, and the ones who did the tallying announced that no negative votes were cast. However, we understand that some unused blanks were sent in. We had some of the members with us for dinner, and discussed the message to some extent, and we believe that these people are open-minded. They have expressed themselves as willing to investigate for themselves, and are so doing at this time. Looking forward with assurance of success, based upon the promises of the Lord, I shall let the following words close this newsletter from the New Mexico Territory. Be strong, and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hos 1:9. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Yours for all truth, O E. Lovan, Clovis, New Mexico. An explanation. As perhaps the most pleasant task of those connected with the work in this office is the reading and answering of the many inspiring communications which come to us daily, we therefore deeply regret that the overflow of correspondence has caused us to disappoint many of the brethren by our delayed reply. But as this is clearly from circumstance rather than choice, we feel sure that the brethren will bear with us until the office facilities can be sufficiently enlarged, as to be commensurate with the ever-increasing correspondence in need of help. In reading our symbolic good news items, I notice that you have an employment agency, and I would appreciate it very much if you could help me in some way find work, for I cannot get any here unless I work on the Sabbath, which I cannot do, because I mean to be faithful to the Lord even if I have to go hungry. I have in school one little girl, who is 7 years old, and who needs books and clothes, which it is hard for her to go without. I wish you would please all pray with me that the Lord will give me strength to overcome every trial and temptation, for this is the most trying hour of my life. I will be so happy when the Lord comes. Brethren, I am very much in need, and will appreciate your help in any way. The above appeal comes from a sister in South Carolina, and if any have or know of any general work that she might have, or if any can assist her in any other way, please in either case communicate with this office for her name and address. Questions and answers. Question: I would like to know how to harmonize Revelation 16:18 with Revelation 8:5. If in Revelation 8:5 it means that the judgment has resumed again, what does it mean in Revelation 16:18? Answer: it means the same thing, judgment resumed after the seven plagues have been fulfilled. Revelation 15:8, which would be at the time for the commencement of the judgment of the wicked during the millennium. Question: how do you harmonize the teachings of Srod with the following, COL 72 and 73, which say that the tares and wheat grow together until the end of probationary time, and COL 122 and 123, which say, when the mission of the gospel is completed, the judgment will accomplish the work of separation? Answer: the question in regard to COL 72 is answered as follows. If the harvest ends probationary time, the period in which the Volume 1 Symbolic Code Number 9 Page 7 harvesting is done must be in, and not after probationary time. Thus is fulfilled Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, showing the harvest to be a period of time having a beginning and ending. And we are not saved, proving that the harvest is the time for being saved, or, in other words, probationary time. This is in harmony both with the West 118 and Matthew 13:28, the former of which says that the third angel is the one that does the harvesting, and the latter of which says that the angels separate the tares from the wheat in the time of harvest, both of which prove again that the harvest is a period of time, and not simply the moment or day when Christ comes in the clouds of heaven to gather in the redeemed. The statement in COL 73 that false brethren will be found in the church till the close of time is pointing to the time of the end, that time of which Ezekiel prophesies in the following words, "The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision." Ezekiel 12:22. Hence, when Christ says, "Let both grow together until the close of time," he is pointing down to our day, the time of the end, in which period the harvest is to be effected, and to separate the tares from the wheat. The difficulty that has caused many to misunderstand COL 73 is that they have failed to realize that we are right now at the very close of time. It is also this failure to understand correctly what the close of time really means that has caused them to stumble over the kindred subjects of the harvest. COL 122 says that the net gathers both good and evil into the church. When the mission of the gospel is completed, the judgment will accomplish the work of separation. It is impossible for the action of separation to precede the action of judgment. In the very nature of things, judgment must take place before separation. Thus, the separation which was determined during the investigative judgment is executed after the actual judging is over. This is in perfect harmony with TM 234, which says, "The time of the judgment is a most solemn period, when the Lord gathers His own from among the tares." Also, let us consider the matter from another angle. All are agreed that the gospel net represents the church, and that the casting of the net is the preaching of the gospel. Hence, if the time when the net is drawn ashore and the gospel commission completed were at the close of human probation, then the bad fish should be left in the net and not cast away, for there would no longer be any use for the net, therefore no need to cast the bad out of it. But as it is, the bad are cast away, showing that the net is to be prepared, cleansed, to be cast forth a second time. Moreover, the very first vision which S.R. Whitehead was of the 144,000. The denomination has always believed that its purpose was to gather the remnant people, the 144,000. Hence, when the net was first sent forth in 1844, it was for the gathering of the 144,000, which it still vaguely believes it is after, but which the SRAP proves it has already gathered. And as the 144,000 are first fruits, showing that second fruits must follow, and further, as the net has through the years gathered of every kind, good the 144,000, and bad alike, therefore the net has to be drawn ashore, and the good gathered in two vessels, and the bad cast away before the second fruits, the great multitude, Revelation 7:9, Isaiah 66:20 can be gathered, Revelation 18:4. Thus the time spoken of in the statement under discussion is at Ezekiel 9, when the gospel to the 144,000 has been completed, and they the first fruits have been harvested the world over. The gospel has sealed them for eternity, and has completed its work in their lives, and they are ready to be sown, sent forth for the harvesting of the second fruits, in the loud cry, at the close of which time the harvest will have been completed, and they the second fruits will have been added to the 144,000 the first fruits, and all will be ready for translation. Question: if the beast is not the papacy, why should S.R. White speak of it as the papacy in G.C. 439, 443, 445, 579? Answer: the reason that S.R. White speaks of the beast as the papacy is that, as is explained in Srad, Volume 2, pages 85-89, 95-98, during the period of the 1260 years, of which she is treating in those instances cited in G.C., she is dealing only with the papal head, and not with the beast in all its different aspects, seven heads, ten horns, etc., but only with the head that was wounded, which being on the beast, and an important part of it, makes it correct for her, in order to express her thought, to say, "the beast the papacy," by which statement. However, she does not imply that all seven heads and ten horns are the papacy, but rather only the head that was. Volume 1, Symbolic Code No. 9, page 8. Wounded unto death, just as we often call the fourth beast of Daniel 7 the papacy, realizing well that such usage excludes the horns and kings, and includes only the little horn having the eyes of a man. Question: if one receives the srad and fully accepts it, is there any possibility of being lost? Answer: if the srad is the truth and one accepts it with all one's heart and does the truth, the possibility of being lost would be identical to the possibility of Paul's being lost for accepting with all his heart the message which Christ sent to him, and of which he said, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." Acts 24:14. Moreover, as the srad is the Elijah message TM 475, it is impossible for anyone who accepts it and lives it to die, for the type demands translation. Thus it is that Elijah stands as a type of the 144,000. DA 421. Question: should the subjects as presented in the srad be studied in our Sabbath meetings? Answer: there should be no instance where aught else is taught at srad meetings at any time. If the srad is present truth, then it takes precedence over every other form of Bible truth, for the spirit of prophecy says it is present truth that the flock needs now. West 63 and TM 118 admonishes, advance new principles and crowd in the clear-cut truth. Question: are there three decrees to build the temple only, and then one by Artaxerxes to build the walls and complete the restoration of Jerusalem? Answer: Ezra 6:14 answers the first part of the question, showing that there were three decrees issued for the building of the house. One by Cyrus, one by Darius, and one by Artaxerxes. Ezra 6:14 also answers the second part of the question, naming Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes as the one who made the three decrees. Ezra 7:1 proves that Artaxerxes Longimanus, who made the decree to beautify not build the house, verse 21, and to rebuild the city, came after the time and the events things chronicled in the preceding chapters of Ezra. Therefore, the decree of Artaxerxes of Ezra 6:14 for the building of the temple could not be the Artaxerxes decree of Ezra 7:1. Although Ezra 6:15 shows that there is another decree besides the three on record, in the scriptures Senior White speaks only of those which are there recorded. Thus, she refers to Cyrus BK 578, Ezra 1:1, as the first, Darius TM 203, Ezra 6:1, as the second, and Artaxerxes Longimanus BK 607, 610, GC 326, Ezra 7:21, as the third. Health reform. It is a sacred duty for those who cook to learn how to prepare healthful food. Many souls are lost as the result of poor cookery. It takes thought and care to make good bread, but there is more religion in loaf of good bread, and many think. MH 302. For use in bread making, the superfine white flour is not the best. Its use is neither healthful nor economical. Fine flour bread is lacking in nutritive elements to be found in bread made from the whole wheat. It is a frequent cause of constipation and other unhealthful conditions. MH 300. Zwieback, or twice-baked bread, is one of the most easily digested and most palatable of foods. Let ordinary raised bread be cut in slices and dried in a warm oven till the last trace of moisture disappears. Then let it be browned slightly all the way through. In a dry place this bread can be kept much longer than ordinary bread, and, if reheated before using, it will be as fresh as when new. MH 301-2. The use of soda and baking powder in bread making is harmful and unnecessary. Soda causes inflammation of the stomach and often poisons the entire system. Bread should be light and sweet. Not the least taint of sourness should be tolerated. The leaves should be small and so thoroughly baked that, so far as possible, the yeast germs shall be destroyed. MH 301. Volume 1, Symbolic Code Number 9, page 9. Recipes: 100% whole wheat bread. Thoroughly wash one large potato or two smaller ones, and after slicing them with the skins on, put them to cook in about a quart of water. Cook slowly until they are tender, run them through a sieve or riser, and add to the water. That remains enough cool water to make in all 1 1/2 quarts of water and potato. Put this in large vessel, dissolve 1 cake of Fleischmann's yeast in little water, and add it to the mixture. Then put on this enough flour to make a sponge and let it stand in a warm place till it is nice and light. Next put into it 1 tablespoon salt, 2 tablespoons of raw sugar or honey, and 2 tablespoons of corn or nut oil. Mix thoroughly and add enough whole wheat flour to make a dough stiff enough to knead, but not too stiff. Then turn out on flour board and knead it by folding it over and over and pressing it together until elastic to the touch. After it is thoroughly kneaded, set it aside in a warm place to raise, and when it is light, form it into leaves or buns and let it raise again, not letting it get too light. Then place it in a hot oven, and the first 10 minutes of baking will finish raising it. After the first 10 minutes in the oven, turn the fire lower to finish baking. This is a very nourishing bread, and if made right, it is delicious. Though not so light as white bread, you will soon learn to like it. It makes a fine sweet back, something for the teeth to exercise on. 100% whole wheat sticks unleavened. To 6 cups of whole wheat flour, add 1/2 cup of corn, olive, or nut oil. To this, add enough water to make a stiff dough. Then turn dough out on a flour board and knead it by folding over and over, from 7 to 10 minutes, or longer, until it is light and pliable. Roll it out 1/2 inch thick, and cut it in strips. Then roll these to pencil-like proportions, and bake them in medium oven till well done, and a delicate brown. These make a very good food with which to replace baker's bread, and can truly be classed as the staff of life. Areta. Symbolic Code, Volume 1, Number 8, February 15, 1935, Page 7, Park. 7, line 2, the date January 18th should be March 18th. Symbolic Code, Volume 1, Number 8, February 15th, 1935, page 11, near buttermilk recipe, line 5, the line should read, mix and rub to a cream 1 tablespoon of peanuts or almonds flaked exceedingly fine with 1 tablespoon of orange or rhubarb juice. S.R. McCune of Greeley, Colorado advises us that, in editing her testimony, as found on page 6 of the Feb Code, we added a thought which she did not intend it to contain. Thus in rectification, we reprint her testimony verbatim from the original copy, which is as follows. The present truth of the third angel's message, to which the message of the angel of Revelation 18:1 is giving great light, has filled my soul, and the power of the Holy Spirit has convinced me that a great reformation is needed, and is now in progress, beginning in my own life. May God lead each one who is honest in heart to a diligent study of His Word, that we may have the truth, as it is in Jesus, and be prepared to receive the seal of God. Signed, Mary M. McCune, Greeley, Colorado. Volume 1, Symbolic Code, Number 9, Page 10. A part that all may have. At the conference meetings in Los Angeles early in 1934, it was unanimously adopted that every Friday afternoon, at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, believers in present truth would seek God in behalf of the message, believing that such a concerted voice would lay at heaven's altar, in all truth, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man which availeth much. We earnestly ask that all join at the appointed hour in this mighty prayer band which is to shake the world. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, is our work to be done. To assist in habituating yourself to keep this appointment, we suggest that for 3 or 4 Fridays, when you arise in the morning, you set your alarm clock for 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, according to your respective zones. Let us henceforth at this time on Fridays, rejoicing in a sense of united strength, lift our voices in unison to God, in mighty intercession in behalf of our own church, and all concerned. An appeal. We here append a short list of some of the workers in various places, and make a general appeal to the readers of the symbolic code who may have SDA acquaintances or relatives in these localities, that you put the worker in touch with them by a letter of introduction. The workers will be very grateful for all such help received. H. G. Warden, 2918 New Matilla Street, Denver, Colorado, Mrs. Hazel Hendricks, Fort McKenzie. Sheridan, Wio, H. F. Roller, 1016 23rd St. Anna Courts, Wash, Eugene Lipsy, 4022 Newton Ave, San Diego. Califf, John Barrelinger, R1 Box 325, Escondido, Califf, R.T. Nash, R2 Box 7A, Redlands, Califf, Miss Esther O'Malley, 1155 West 36 SD, Los Angeles, Califf, E.T. Wilson, R5 Hendersonville, Incar, Dr. Robert L. Stokes, Brevard, Incar, Dr. John H. Young, 2130 Wallace Street, Columbia, Escar, William Edwards, Genesis Dell, Hartford City, and Ferry M. Jones, 121 East Olivet, Redlands, Califf. Important instructions. Leaders of all companies are requested to write out each month on the back of report blank the full name and address of each member of the company. This procedure is imperative in order to carry on efficiently and successfully at this office. Also, everyone desiring the code must send in his name and address, for only those whose names are on the mailing list will receive the code. In order to eliminate money changing for tithe and offering, paying for books, etc. on the Sabbath, a Laodicean practice which the Word of God condemns, let us carefully attend to all such matters on the first day of the week 1 Co. 16:2 by placing all monies in envelopes. To this end we advise that each company supply itself with small inexpensive envelopes. Do not use church materials where you are no longer paying for them, for it is not right. Let all present truth believers try to fit themselves to get into the Lord's work, for He is now calling for laborers into His great harvest. Volume 1, Symbolic Code, number 9, page 11.